This is Colorado Matters from Colorado Public Radio. I'm Ryan Warner. We're going to get inside the minds of school teachers today thanks to some big new surveys. Educators were asked how they feel about their jobs, about proposed education reforms. Jenny Brundine covers education for CPR, and she's been taking a closer look at this and at some new research on how colleges get ready for freshmen who aren't quite ready for college. Nice to have you with us, Jenny.
Nice to be here, Ryan.
And from time to time, you're going to check in with us on big ideas brewing on your beat. And let's talk first about these teacher surveys.
Over the last little while, there's been a couple of really large national surveys of teachers. The first one, it's a study by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and it surveyed more than 10,000 public school teachers. And it really found that there's little support for many of the reform ideas that are being pushed by the Obama administration. Fewer than a third of teachers believe reforms like longer school days or a longer school year or merit pay for teachers will ultimately improve student achievement.
What else did this survey show in terms of how teachers feel about reform?
In the survey, it showed about 85% of teachers support using student academic growth to evaluate their job performance. But these teachers tended to be very down on standardized tests. Those are things like the CSAPs that we have here in Colorado.
So the idea is they don't mind being judged on progress. They just don't think these tests are a good way to measure it.
Exactly. A good way to measure how much students are actually learning. Only a quarter of teachers thought those tests accurately reflected achievement. And that is really what a lot of these teacher evaluation laws are using. Also, teachers seem to welcome more visits from principals into their classrooms, but didn't think they should count for a lot in their evaluations. Instead, teachers want to see a variety of measures, like more self-assessments, more reviews from their peers, and perhaps using tests, several tests across the whole school year.
That are measuring as you go along, not just one big thing at the end of the year.
Exactly.
Okay. All of this is reminding me of the big debate over tenure in Colorado. Were there any specific thoughts from this survey about tenure?
Yes, teachers support tenure, which has come under attack, as you mentioned, in some states, but nearly 90% were open to changes to how it's granted, including that it reflect evaluations of how effective a teacher is in the classroom.
Okay. Well, back to the point about the large number of teachers being skeptical of some of the so-called education reforms. What is the strategy that most teachers support for raising achievement?
The survey found that nearly all teachers said increasing family involvement and support is key to improving student achievement. 90% of teachers also said that reducing class size is key, while only a quarter, about 26%, said that merit pay would have a strong or very strong positive effect.
So in terms of the families, what they see is changes outside the classroom would help what's going on in the classroom.
Yes, and that's a very big debate. Many in the education reform community say we should really be focusing just on things that we can control here in the classroom. They acknowledge it's important that what goes on outside the classroom, but teachers really believe that that plays a key role.
This survey also looked at how teachers spend their time. How much are they working? I imagine it's a lot.
It's a lot. Well, teachers reported on average a workday of about 10 hours and 40 minutes. So after being at school for about 8 hours, many are working another hour or two or more after school or at home. And half the day is spent in actual instruction. On average, a teacher spends about 36 minutes a day on supervision and discipline. And personal time like lunch and breaks, about 23 minutes.
Now, the results of this survey overlap with the findings of another big survey.
Yes, there was a recent survey by the big life insurance giant MetLife, and they've been doing the survey since about 1984, and it informs some of their foundation work in education. So both surveys found that fewer than half of teachers are highly or very satisfied with their jobs. And this is significant because it's the lowest level of teacher satisfaction measured by this survey in over two decades.
Less than half of teachers really, really like their jobs.
Yes. One thing to highlight, there was a fairly dramatic 15% drop in the number of teachers that were very satisfied in just 2 years. So it's kind of going downhill pretty quickly. Another interesting but troubling statistic, about a third of teachers say more of their students are coming to school hungry than in the past. So why, you might say, why the dissatisfaction? And the authors really boil it down to teachers seeing the needs grow bigger while budgets are being slashed.
The needs of their students, of course.
Yes.
Now, these were nationwide surveys, but I understand you've collected some other information about what teachers are thinking locally.
Yes, there's been a few good commentaries on this topic on the website Ed News Colorado, which is a must read for me as an education reporter. Some teachers have written in describing their day blow by blow, and it seems what many teachers really want is more time for collaborative planning with other teachers, less time perhaps on discipline and crowd control that we talked about. We should point out that many supports for teachers have disappeared with the budget cuts, like paraprofessionals in the classroom.
Well, NBC's Education Nation was just in town, and this is a show that spotlights a city and its education issues. Jenny, you attended a teacher panel, and I understand that this idea of collaboration was a really hot topic.
That's right. Host Rahima Ellis was asking a panel of teachers what's needed to promote more collaboration between teachers, and someone from the audience yelled out, more time.
Give them time.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I mean, put them in teams where they work together. I work with five other teachers on a team, so we work together with the same children. So that's highly effective. We share ideas. We collaborate constantly.
A teacher who is strong in one subject or maybe one approach to a subject is helping another teacher? Mm-hmm. Is that what's happening, Patty?
Yes. We even have time to go in and observe another teacher and give feedback to each other and just to help us grow together.
And John, some of it seems almost like, duh, how come we weren't doing this before?
Well, you know, I think there's forces at being that prevent teachers from collaborating. If you create
time, for example,
time. If you create a competitive system,
you just said give them time.
Yeah, time is the number one thing. But you never want to create a pay system where teachers are competing, where they might isolate themselves because they want more money than the person next to them. Oh, that kind of noise, huh?
An excerpt there from Education Nation, a project of NBC. We're talking with our education reporter, Jenny Brundine. And Jenny, you've been tracking some research about remedial programs for high school students who show up not really ready for college.
That's right. More and more high school graduates are finding that they need to take basic skills classes in things like reading, writing, and math. But because many of these courses are prerequisites to courses that actually offer credits, students get frustrated and drop out. A new study by the nonprofit Complete College America finds that nationally, about $3 billion a year is spent on this remedial education with really very little to show for it. Fewer than 1 in 10 graduate from community colleges within 3 years, and a little more than a third complete a bachelor's degree in 6 years.
So there's a lot of money being spent here, but the outcomes aren't great.
That's right.
Are there numbers on how many college students need this kind of basic skills help in Colorado?
Yeah, about 35% of students entering two-year colleges have to take these remedial classes, about 9% at four-year colleges. And the good news is that's better than the nationwide figures. Nationally, about half of students going into community college need this kind of help, and about 20% in four-year colleges. The numbers are much higher if you're a minority student.
What's the study recommending for addressing this?
There's research showing that instead of remedial classes, if you can redesign a first-year class that actually gives the student credit, put some tutoring into it, maybe meet more times a week, those bear more fruit. So institutions that are using this approach have shown that unprepared students are succeeding at rates similar to their peers who are college-ready. And there's a bill making its way through the Colorado legislature that would allow four-year colleges to do this kind of thing. And the state also has a few promising pilot programs that are trying to redesign these first-year classes so more students can succeed.
Now, is there another side to this story?
Well, I haven't talked to a lot of faculty from college-level remedial classes, but there's a fear among some that the standards for what's considered college-ready will be reduced. One educator who teaches remedial classes commented on the report, and I'll read some of it now.
Sure.
Judging by my students and others like them, they are not ready for college-level classes. They cannot read a college-level text, their vocabulary is poor, they cannot write a paragraph, and they know very little of the general knowledge that educated people are supposed to know. They have the brain power, but they did not get the education that they needed in high school and elementary school. This writer went on to say that at her college, already to have students pass, The course she's teaching is reduced to a much simpler version of its college-level self, such as multiple choice answers at the seventh grade level, short videos, no writing. And the writer ends her comments with this: "I fear we have consigned a generation to a life with little education. I only hope that we will do a better job with the children of these students."
Her concern isn't that students will necessarily be lifted up to college level, but that college level may be brought down to where some of the students are.
Right, so they can pass, yes.
Okay. Thanks so much, Jenny.
Thank you, Ryan.
Jenny Brundine covers education for Colorado Public Radio. She'll swing by occasionally to share some of what she's reading and observing on the beat. You can read the research she mentioned at cpr.org. That's where you can also get a hold of Jenny with story ideas or any feedback.